Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 189 of CCFR Radio on the Air. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the show. We've got a lot of political news to talk about. Prime Minister Mark Carney, the actual Prime Minister now, has appointed his cabinet, including the Minister of Public Safety and some other secretaries. So there's some important news for you to know about that. There's been some interesting election things happening. Things that could actually flip the Liberals to a majority government or weaken their minority. So we'll see what happens there. As well, some news about National Range Day. And I spent the week in Alberta, so I've got a couple of things to share with you on that. All that and more, CCFR Radio starts right now. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. And thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. Ready, aim, shop. Bullseye North is where passion meets precision. Discover a huge selection of top-notch rifles, accessories, and ammo. Whether you're perfecting your aim at the range or gearing up for hunting season, Bullseye North has you covered with free shipping on orders over $300, including ammo. Some exclusions apply. Check out bullseyenorth.com and remember to subscribe to their newsletter, bullseyenorth.com. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. All right, we are back. So Tracy is going to be on for the majority of the podcast today. I've only got a couple of things I want to go over with you before we get started on that. So first thing is, are we going to the Supreme Court? Because people are asking, you know, what's next for the court case or is it done? And the answer is 70% chance we're not, because we've gotten advice that says, you know, that was a very tightly written decision by the Court of Appeal. And it was very clear. The court is like, yeah, we're not going to stop the government from doing any of this stuff. You know, and I thought that their role was to be the hedge against overreaching government, but I could be wrong about that. If that's not the case, I'm not sure what the role is. But anyway, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a nobody, right? So, but then actually I was in Alberta for a week. And I just got back when we're recording this the day before yesterday. And you know, I spoke to a few people and there are people saying, well, this question might be interesting to the Supreme Court. So anyway, I guess all that to say, I haven't made a final decision. 70% no, 30% we might apply. Remember, you don't get to just go to the Supreme Court if you don't pay a fee and just show up there or something like that. You apply. Here's the question. Is it interesting to you guys? And they decide whether or not they want to take your case. Other than that, like you're at the end of the road. So anyway, all that to say, I'll probably have a decision by the next podcast. So chances better than even that it'll be a no. And you never know if something jumps out at us. I'm going to do a little more research and talk to a few more people. And maybe if there's something interesting, we might apply to go there. But again, all that stuff costs money. We spent a lot of money on this anyway. I mean, that had to be done. And we said we would fight them at every level. We absolutely did at every possible level. And I guess we can continue to do that if both if it's reasonable, some chance of success. And of course, if all of you continue to support the CCFR, that's what we would do. Anyway, so more on that in the next podcast. Next thing, as I mentioned, I went to Alberta. I was there for about 6 days. I had a bunch of things to do that aren't relevant to this conversation, but it was a very busy week. In fact, I'm quite exhausted, but nonetheless, we'll struggle through. When I was up in Edmonton, I was both in Edmonton and Calgary, but when I was up in Edmonton, one of the things I did was sit down with the Chief Firearms Officer of Alberta, Terry Bryant, and she is nothing short of awesome. And I'll tell you that what an encouraging meeting that is, because it kind of lit up something in my brain. It was this feeling that the government, that all good, law-abiding, contributing, like the good citizens, the people that make this country work, that not every aspect of government in this country is run by criminals for the benefit of criminals, or the government sitting, you know, over you with a hammer going like, yeah, you know, step out of line and I'm going to smoke you with this thing. Like that's how you feel when you have nothing but being, you know, you live through nothing but being assaulted by the government 24/7. And, you know, that is what it is. So it's a completely different story with Terry Bryan, and they're doing really well in Saskatchewan too, right? They have good firearms offices in both of these provinces. And certainly if you're from another province, you're jealous of that. But nonetheless, it was a really great meeting. And, you know, Albertans are very lucky to have her. And you never know. Terry might be on the podcast or the TV show sometime soon. You never know what could happen. Anyway, also met up with our great friends over at WOW TV who have been really great to the CCFR. CCFR Radio on the Air, our television show, is going to go into its fifth season in September. Fifth season, four full seasons we've been on there. And of course, my own show is on there, right? My Best Hunt. And so it was good to meet some of the people that I've been working with for so long, but I'd never met. So that was great. And then when I went down to Calgary, I was speaking at this event called the Cornerstone Forum. And this is an event put on by the Sean Newman podcast. And I'm sure he's got some other people involved too, but that's sort of, he's the main figure that was doing that event. And it was really interesting. Lots of different speakers, some like one super heavy hitter, economist Martin Armstrong. So if you look him up, real mover and a shaker in the U.S. economy from the 70s even, right? So really interesting to hear his insights on the geopolitical situation in the world. Very interesting. Confirms some things, dispels other things. Just really from somebody that's inside the apparatus and with that kind of experience, like firsthand experience with presidents and all the rest of that stuff. Really, really interesting. But I was doing a speech there. And so this is the reason I bring all this up, is I had to write a speech and it was supposed to be 13 and a half minutes long. And I'm like, okay, well, there's 650 people there. Not everybody's even heard of, you know, the CCFR at all, much less members or what have you. So, okay, well, I should talk a little bit about the CCFR and the type of work that we do, which is work that, you know, had never been done before. Like the overwhelming majority of our projects had never been attempted by anyone else, right? And that was the reason why there was room for the CCFR, because it was so many things that the community had ideas about, so many ideas, so many things that people thought would help. You know, we've had plenty of ideas of our own. And the only way to tell whether or not they were going to help was to actually do them. And so no one was lifting a finger to do all this stuff. So again, I know I harp on it. If you're going to be a supporter of the CCFR or a member or what have you, you should always look at what we do, because we have to deserve, we have to earn your support. It's not implied, like save your guns and be a member. It's like that's BS, man. We have to earn that support. And then when we have to make some kind of record of it so you know what that is, what we've done. So again, go to ccfr.ca, click Why Join, start reading that list. I haven't updated it since before the election. I'll get that done maybe in the next couple of weeks, but just have a look at all of those things. So it takes a tremendous amount of work and ingenuity and dedication. You have to work at an obsessive level to do all of the different things that had never been tried before, right? So I want to talk a little bit about that stuff, which I did. And then I wanted to end it off with some kind of hope, right? Some kind of positive note. And that's not always easy to do, especially after 10 years. So I just want to share a couple of the anecdotes that I shared with all of these people. So the first one was, I said, you know, we had a really disappointing situation happen during the election. 10 years of, you know, obsession level dedication to this cause, you know, here at the CCFR and many, many of you out there, 10 years only to be disappointed the way that we were. Really difficult. Like we've done so much work. So I said, all right, well, when that something like that happens, you have to determine, you have to shake that off and determine whether or not you are prepared to continue to fight. If it's a business, are you prepared to continue to try to grow your business or at least operate? And the answer is, yeah, there's more to do, and there's more we can do. And even though it is very difficult, to be honest with you, but you know, sometimes you can make a decision by figuring out what you're not going to do. And it's like, well, is quitting an option? Of course. And you're like, no, that's not an option. Just let these people do whatever they want. It's not an option. So it's like, okay, well, I guess you have to fight. Then you have to pivot, because now the landscape is completely different. So you can't use the same tactics. You got to approach this thing different. And are you agile? And are you fast enough at pivoting the whole business? And, you know, are you interested enough that you're going to be able to pivot this whole thing on a moment's notice? You know, here's now the work that we're going to do. That's really important. So that's what we did. We are that agile. So we did. And, you have to have the resources. So as long as people keep supporting the CCFR, we'll keep working. So that's great too. Now, here's the part that I talked about. I said, as far as having the will to continue, you know, the way that the CCFR, approached this problem right at the beginning, when we started, it was like, okay, we've got a brand new liberal government, liberal majority, a clear majority, right? Justin Trudeau the first time. So in 2015, we're like, okay, this government's going to go all the way. So 4 years, you know, finish line is going to be 2019. Let's just make it there. We'll obstruct the government. We'll oppose the government. And that's our role. 2019. I mean, and as we got closer to 2019, it's like nobody could ever vote for this guy again, you know? So right on, here comes the finish line. We lost in 2019. It was like, oh man, minority government. It's like, okay, minority government, right? Two to 3 to 4 years maximum, you know? And it's like, we would never lose again because, oh man, look at what this guy was doing. And so it was COVID, right? And a lot of division and everything else. You guys remember what that's like, okay. You know, finish lines, 2021, we're going to make it. This is all, we just got to survive there, oppose, obstruct, you know, hammer these people, try to cause them to lose the election. 2021, we get to 2021, what happens? This guy wins again. And we're like, and of course, every time Justin Trudeau and the Liberals win, we're in disbelief, like to the point where you actually don't believe it. Anyway, I'm going to leave that lingering out there. But it's just like, how could this be? but we know what happened also in 2021, but gets a minority government. We're like, okay, next finish line, 2025. And then look at the scandals, look at all this stuff, right? You're like, there's no way that the Liberals could win in 2025. Now that's the finish line, 2025, 10 years. And they won again, right? So how do you pick up the pieces? I mean, of course we can pivot. Of course there's work to do, whatever. Like that's all, if you take the emotion out of it, you know, that's very obvious. But it's like emotionally, you're like, okay, well, how's this? How do you cope with that? How do you get your mind off of that? How do you move on? And I said, this is it. We don't know where the finish line is. You know, we've blown through it 3 times. I think it's pretty clear we don't know where the finish line is, at least at this point. Maybe if you're, you know, a supernatural deity, you would look down at all of us beavering away down here, trying to find the finish line, and be like, yeah, this is a 13-year fight. You know, they think that they're beat, but they're already 10 years in. These little ants, you know, that we call people, humans, right? They're already 10 years in, man. They're actually almost there in comparison to what they fought. You don't know. Maybe the fight is 15 years long, but we're 2/3 of the way there. I don't know. So that's the way that I choose to look at it. And this might even be a value to you in your own life. If you're battling something, you'd be like, well, how do I know how long this fight is? I don't. But what if it's only a little bit more and I'm going to give up now, right? Kind of thing. So that's why I wanted to pass on to them. I also let them know that politics is a marathon. It's not a sprint. People that eventually win in politics, who was it? It was Dick Cheney that said that. You know, politics is about hanging in there longer than everybody else, outlasting them. I think he was in politics for 20 years before he was ever the vice president. 20 years he hung in there. So I don't know. It's just, it's interesting stuff. And the last thing is kind of an aside I wanted to share with you. And I can't remember whether I was running out of time or I said it or not, but it's really important. It's something I've learned in business for a long time ago. And it's something I always bring back and remind myself of. no matter what you do, especially if you do something public and you put yourself out there and you say, yeah, you know what? I'll get out there and I'll punch the big guy in the face and whatever. And I've got these people behind me. I'll do it. You're always going to get criticized. You're going to get criticized by people that do nothing and just they're trying to make their mark by throwing dirt at the man or woman in the middle of the arena that's doing the fighting. Yeah, you should have done this. Yeah, you shouldn't even bother going out there. I told you it wouldn't work, especially like with the lawsuit right now. I told you it was a waste of time. It's like, what? You sat back, did nothing. Because sometimes I check to see if these people are ever support us. And I've never, I think only maybe twice I ever found somebody that was really critical of CCFR that ever actually gave a dime to the effort, right? So anyway, yeah, you shouldn't even have started. So that's the easiest thing in the world. And what I find is that of all the people that are your critics, emotionally, you have to turn off that side of your brain. Like, I don't care what you think, because you're not the one that's actually doing it. I'm the one that's doing the work. I'm the one that's on the front page of the Globe and Mail across the entire country being slandered like I'm, you know, some kind of lunatic. I'm the one that's being slandered in the House of Commons, right? It's not you. You know, I'm not the one being, you know, dragged across the coals in committee, right, about somebody's Twitter feed, you know, on being broadcast across the country. It's I'm the one that's doing that, right? So you turn off that emotional side, but you never close your ears entirely to your critics, because sometimes it's almost like a diamond in the rough. These clowns will come and go, but every once in a while, at least if you're listening a little bit, one of them drops a good idea. And you're like, you know what? That's a valid criticism. We could have done this better or that better. Or I probably should have done that. And I'll write that stuff down. Like, I listen. And in fact, sometimes I would say I probably listen to our critics more than I listen to the people that support us. Certainly, I appreciate that and everything, right? But it's the critics that throw that stuff at you every once in a while, like one out of 50 criticisms, there'll be an idea in there. And we've actually done projects and changed the way that we approach some things based on that criticism. So it's just a healthy thing to do. It's very easy to just be like, yeah, I'm not even gonna listen to critics. Either you're with us or you're against us, right? And if you're not with us and you're not worth being listened to, I actually listen to everybody just to benefit the organization, to benefit myself and my own development. Anyway, I think that was one thing that I had to cut out because I was running out of time, but it's something I think about often. And I think that if you have a business or you're doing something similar to what we're doing, I just always keep that in mind. You find the best ideas in the most unlikely places sometimes. But anyway, all that to say, we are full steam ahead. We're still fighting. We've got lots of new projects that I've actually been scrolling out ideas on. I'm excited about some of them actually. But I'm not going to talk about those until I've actually got them lined out, ready to roll. If in fact they're ones that we can talk about at some point before they actually come to fruition. So anyway, hopefully I didn't talk too long. Let's bring Tracy on. All right. Via Skype, we've got Ms. Tracy Wilson of the CCFR.
Hey buddy, how's it going?
It's all right, I think.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day here in the nation's capital, a balmy, sunny high of 26. It's a wonderful day for a big cabinet announcement.
What is this, a freaking weather report?
Yeah. If all else fails, I'm going to get a job at the local radio station giving the weather.
Yeah. Angry Weather with Tracy Wilson.
Yes, I like it.
Formerly of the gun lobby. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I think that's gimmicky enough. There might be something there.
There might be something there. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Okay. Because that's just going nowhere but down. Okay. So the biggest news we will deal with first, which is Prime Minister Mark Carney has appointed his cabinet, which is probably the most consequential thing that's happened since the election.
Yeah, that's right. So today he announced his cabinet. It's supposed to be smaller and more focused. You'll remember Prime Minister Trudeau had 38 ministers. So Carney's only got 28, but he's also got 10 Secretary of States. Now, this actually even had me a little confused, because for the last 10 years, we've been dealing with parliamentary secretaries. So I did a little digging to find out what a Secretary of State is. And it's basically almost like a junior minister, where they have some decision-making powers, but they're assigned specific responsibilities within a ministry or working on a certain project within that ministry. So they do make about 54 grand a year more than a parliamentary secretary, But yeah, only 28 ministers.
What's the total of that salary then?
Well, Trudeau spent in his 2024 cabinet, he had $11.8 million he spent on those 38 ministers. Carney's smaller and more focused cabinet is $11.9 million on 28 ministers and 10 secretaries of state.
What I meant specifically, just out of interest, I know the people that listen to this podcast are, you know, I think they're excited to learn a little bit about politics. What does a minister make, and what does one of these Secretary of State's junior ministers make as far as a salary is concerned?
Yeah, well, like I said, the Secretary of State makes about 54 grand more than the parliamentary secretary. So you start off at $284,500 for that Secretary of State position. So yeah, that's a lot. And then it's well over 300,000 for a minister. So these are quite well-paying positions, especially considering the work calendar that they've got, right?
Well, and the work calendar that they've been engaging in, but we'll get to that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about, we're going to talk a little bit more a little bit later about who didn't get in or who didn't, who lost their ministerial position. But as far as, you know, law-abiding licensed gun owners are concerned, who didn't get in of consequence?
Yeah, well, really interesting. Rachel Bendayan did not get any kind of position, and I was surprised about that. But also, Natalie Provost got no role within public safety. Now, you'll remember the last time we talked, I said that her area of expertise was actually agriculture, and she got Secretary of State for Nature. So that's nice. She'll probably support the ministers of the environment or maybe even the Minister of Agriculture. But yeah, she's going to focus on the nature in the upcoming parliamentary sessions. So yes,
yeah,
very nice.
And so I don't know. I know that we're speculating a little bit because we don't really have any choice. But it's interesting that Rachel Bendayan was booted out of her parliamentary secretary, whatever, or a ministerial secretary position, who was driving all the zealotry as far as the gun control and buyback and confiscation and lists and all the rest of that stuff. I mean, she was just crazy for that stuff. And now she doesn't even have a role. So I find that interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. There's a lot of really polarizing people that have been left by the wayside. So if you're not in cabinet, you are a backbencher. So
yeah. And
that's how she rolls.
And I guess this sort of segues into our next topic, which is the new Minister of Public Safety, who he himself is kind of a change candidate as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'll be totally honest. I didn't really know a lot about him. His name is Gary Anandasangari, and he's been a politician, been an MP, an elected MP out of the Toronto area since 2015. I looked up his background. He's got an honors degree in political science. He was a registered real estate broker. Then he went on to Osgoode Hall Law School. He's a lawyer. He was called to the bar. He's a lawyer specializing in business, real estate, and human rights law. He's very active in the Tamil community, sits on a lot of boards with various organizations. And he's an advocate for human rights, refugees, immigration, Indigenous. One little fun fact tidbit is in 2015, he ran against conservative candidate Leslyn Lewis in Scarborough Rouge Park, his riding, and he gained twice the amount of votes she did. So yeah, Gary just seems to be kind of this really laid back, not so polarizing law and order type guy. And I'll be interested to hear more from him. So mandate letters should be out in the coming weeks. That's really what we'll want to keep our eye on to see what their focus is going to be going into the new session. And yeah, that's really interesting. One last thing that is also of great importance on our file, or it could be, is the Secretary of State for Combating Crime. I'm using quotations for those of you just listening in. This is Ruby Sahota. So she's also a lawyer. We'll see if she focuses on actual public safety and combating actual crime, or if she focuses on gun owners. But it looks to me like she'll be probably working in a supportive role to the minister But yeah, that's all the information I've got for now. But I watched a few speeches Gary did. Of course, he's voted in favor of all the gun control measures that the Liberals have put in place. But you'll remember under Prime Minister Trudeau, you didn't get a free vote. You didn't vote your conscience or your constituents. You were whipped. So we'll see what's to come in the session ahead, you know?
Yeah, but it's encouraging that you've got a lot of the zealots that have been swept out.
Yes.
And we'll talk more about the people who got swept out in a second, but it just seems to be a little bit more of a serious cabinet. Not every appointment, as you know, we're not going to talk about all the different appointments, but you know, and some of the appointments you were like, okay, this person's back, and you know, I can't figure out why they got a post or whatever, but yeah, I just, obviously our job is to re-engage with the Liberals and see what we can salvage for now, which we're actively doing. But anyway, it was encouraging, right?
I do consider him like a change candidate though, because he is not the same type of kind of trolley, you know, polarizing guy that Marco Mendicino was or Bill Blair, or, you know, I feel like there's still, you know, half the cabinet is still from the Trudeau era, but it's sort of the adults in the room. And then the other half of the cabinet is fresh faces. So, this is what we've got to work with. And that's what I intend to do.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Now, speaking of trolley polarizing people, there's a bunch of people that used to have a pretty high profile in the Liberal Party and by extension, the Canadian government. Who were completely left out of the left out in the cold, as it were.
Yeah, that's right. I said on Twitter, actually, it's not who's in cabinet that's interesting. It's who isn't. And it doesn't go unnoticed that, you know, most of those radical anti-gun Liberal MPs were excluded, and some of those really polarizing people. And I'm trying not to, you know, wallow in self-indulgence here, but yeah, these are the following people that are now backbenched. So Member of Parliament Bill Blair, Rachel Bendayan, Mark Miller, Mark Gerritsen, you know, he's forever trying his best, Mona Fortier, Jenna Suds, Karina Gold, Cody Bloy, Jonathan Wilkinson, none of them got anything. So yeah, it's like I said, I'm trying not to to gloat, but
all right,
it is what it is. Back off to the back benches with you.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to offer too much commentary on this whole thing, because I think most people know how we feel about people like Bill Blair, who shouldn't be around humans at all. Mm-hmm. But you know, and some of the others, but you know, I feel bad for Mark Gerritsen, because despite his challenges, and his challenges are quite severe, he was able to rise, you know, and even be reelected as an MP. So, you know, if there's hope for Mark Gerritsen, as I've said before, there's hope for pretty much anybody.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean,
so
God bless Mark Gerritsen.
He had his time in the sun. So good for him. He climbed so high for someone that had so many challenges. So anyway, I guess we'll move on so this is an interesting story. I think most people that are following the election are familiar with some judicial recounts that are happening, and then some possible recounts on top of those. But one riding in particular, which is Terrebonne in Quebec, flipped from the Bloc Québécois to the Liberals. And now it looks like it might flip back and trigger a by-election.
It's actually flipped twice already. So it's flipped to the Bloc Québécois. Yeah. No, it was Liberal. Then it flipped in the normal recount, the automatic recount when it's below a certain threshold, and it flipped to the Bloc Québécois. Then there was a judicial recount and it flipped to the Liberals by one vote. Like, I can't even fathom that. And there's, you know, a lot of commentary about how they've gone back through the ballots. You know, if somebody's ballot is discarded as not, you know, not legible, or if there's something wrong with it or whatever, like some of these have been reintroduced back into the race. However, you know, they kind of decided, okay, that's it. This Liberal guy won by one vote. Well, then there was a news story that broke immediately afterwards, and it was a woman from that riding who had sent in a mail-in ballot. And these mail-in ballots are self-addressed back to Elections Canada. You know, like they, you vote and you seal it back up and then you put it in the mail and it basically sends it back to themselves. Well, they had printed the wrong information on the address. I think it was the postal code to the Elections Canada office. So her vote was never counted. It bounced back and was returned to her. And I think she just got it back yesterday. So maybe it wasn't won by just one vote after all. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I would anticipate this is likely going to end up in court and likely end up with a by-election because it's just been so messy and bouncing back and forth. And, you know, some ballots were counted and some ballots weren't counted. Some ballots were, you know, deemed not legible. And then they were brought back in.
Yeah. Rejected and then unrejected.
Yeah. Like I defended the Canadian electoral system because there are a lot of countries that have far worse systems, far more corrupt and shady than ours. That's for sure. And I've defended it. But stuff like this causes people to doubt the system and that's unhealthy. So, you know, I think Elections Canada has a duty here to just clean that up immediately and just go to a by-election. I don't care if it costs extra money. You got to be sure because when you're bouncing a result back and forth, like you think about it, the MPs, the newly elected MPs have already been here in Ottawa for their, you know, their little info sessions, their training sessions. They're being appointed offices. They're choosing their staff. And here we are weeks after the election. There's actually still three other counts going on, three other recounts. So, you know, imagine on election night, you're celebrating, you win, you have that party, you come to Ottawa,
quit
you go
your
to
job.
All the training, and then you get sent home. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. No, you're back in. Like, this is a mess.
Yep.
Just clean it up and make it for sure.
See if you can get your old job back. You know?
Yeah.
Right? Like just
really bad.
Yeah,
just really sloppy. And I get it. Stuff happens. And these are counted by hand by people. We don't use counting machines in Canada, but yeah, when it's, there was a lot of ridings that were so marginally close that they had to be recounted. It's hard to even imagine. Here we are. We're in an entirely different month than the election was. And we still don't know who some of the MPs are in some ridings. That's pretty messy. So
yeah, it was a messy election all the way around.
Yeah.
So let's move on from the election.
Okay.
And talk a little bit about National Range Day. So obviously we didn't have a lot of time to put into National Range Day this year because of a federal election and a lead up to a federal election that we could sort of see coming. But National Range Day, as it is nonetheless, what do you got going on?
Yeah. Like I'm telling you, I have a lot of faith in our community because you're right. We didn't get the time to really promote it and put the effort into it and all that like we normally do, but it just still exists on its own, which is great. People have been going to the website, registering their event. They're still hosting events. Like it's sort of caught on now, which is wonderful. We're going to blow it up even bigger. But it always falls on the first Saturday in June. This year, it happens to be June 7th. I'm co-hosting our flagship National Range Day open house at EOSE, Eastern Ontario Shooting Club, here just outside of Ottawa. And as usual, I can't do anything normal. I've just got to blow it out into a complete circus, literally. But I've got shotgun, pistol, rifle ranges. Vortex Canada comes down. They let the public try all their cool rifles with all their awesome scopes on there. We've got a free kids 22 silhouette range. They love that. We've got tons of really fun, colorful silhouettes that we put out for them, and they love plinking at the steel. We've got an ice cream truck again this year, which is fun. Cotton candy, bouncy castles. I've got a giant two-story inflatable slide, an obstacle course, archery. And then the whole thing is being filmed for TV. Our friend Amanda Lynn Mayhew will air that on an episode of her TV show, That Hunting Girl, which if you watch actually all week this week on Sportsman Channel Canada, last year's National Range Day is featured on an episode. So there's just so much going on with that. And I love that people have still picked up that torch and carried it. I really appreciate that. And I'll do better at promoting it next year. But you can still register your club's event at nationalrangeday.ca. You can find one near you. And if you didn't get it done this year, that's okay. You've got lots of time to start planning for 2026. There's tons of free resources on the website. Get to nationalrangeday.ca and start planning. Let's blow it up. So, yeah.
Well, is that it?
That's it. Sorry. Do you want me to keep talking? I could talk about National Ranger Day all day long if you want.
And it wouldn't be a wasted day. Okay.
No, no, there's no day at the range is wasted.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Okay. The one thing that, you know, like obviously we know about it and it's a big thing within the CCFR, but I'm not sure whether we mentioned, I know we sent emails out, but I'm not sure in the last episode we mentioned that we did cancel our annual general meeting that was to be held in Niagara Falls. And obviously the reason for that is there's a big election loss and it's red alert and we have a lot of work to do. And, you know, we have more important things, unfortunately, than the AGM and having a soiree with all of our friends and supporters. We got a lot of work to do in a short period of time while this new government gets its, finds its legs.
Yeah. I mean, it was going to be very special because it was our 10-year anniversary. So it was really, you know, the whole theme and the whole vibe was going to be celebratory. I'm just not there. You know, I just want to work. I want to see if we can get our foot in the door and work on this and try and get something stabilized for gun owners. And yeah, I'm just not much in the mood for that right now. So we're still going to, you know, complete our obligations. We're going to do an online one, which is also kind of fun. Everybody can tune in. And we'll go through all the updates and stuff. But yeah, I'd rather save a party for down the road a little further when we've got something more to celebrate.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, here's the consolation though. The CCFR actually, like technically turns 10 on October 28th of this year.
Yes.
So while we're like, this is sort of the 10th year, it actually wasn't, it was our 9th AGM.
Yes, that's correct.
So really next year is the 10-year anniversary AGM.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have something more to celebrate then. And just, yeah, for me, I think our members just want to see us get to work. And
yeah,
that's where my mind is at anyways. I just want to get it done.
Yeah, well, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've contacted directly everyone who was registered for the AGM anyway and had a conversation directly with them to let them know. But just in case you didn't get an email and you're thinking like, oh, when is this? Maybe I can make it or whatever. That's the story right now.
Yeah. Notice for the online AGM, which anyone who's a member can attend, all of that information will be going out this week in an email. So keep your eyes open for that. And if you feel like you didn't get it, send an email to info@ccfr.ca.
That's right. Okay. So here's the good news though.
Okay.
So there are some good things happening. Mm-hmm. As far as negative things that could result from the parliamentary process with this new government, it's going to be a short parliament.
Yeah. Like the timeline is actually really short here. We've got the speech from the throne. The king is coming to read that. And that'll be at the end of this month, I believe on the 27th of May. So parliament will resume. And you have to remember, they haven't sat since December 14th last year. Like they've been prorogued and going through an election and a leadership race. And they actually haven't sat. So we haven't had a functioning House of Commons in a very long time. So they'll be back at the end of May. They'll have a very short runway because according to the House of Commons sitting calendar, they rise for the summer break on June 20th. So they've got about 3-4 weeks to do whatever they're doing, get their legs underneath them and get running. And then they won't be back until September 15th. And over the summer, a bunch of things are likely to happen. The by-election for Pierre Poilievre in that Alberta riding. So he should be back in the House. You know, some stuff will be going on. Who knows what'll happen between now and then. But they've only got less than a month of runway to sit in the House anyways, unless something changes. But the Prime Minister hasn't indicated that there will be any change to the parliamentary calendar. So
yeah, so in our business, no news is good news.
Yes.
And, you know, this government's going to be in place for probably 3 years. So,
yeah, I mean, they won't likely even have time to really settle committees and, you know, like there's just not a lot of time. Obviously, they work at the speed of government. And I think this government actually has other priorities. You know, they're working on tariffs and economy and housing and all those things. So,
well, and this, this sort of leads to some other good news is so far as Carney and the people that he's choosing, they're not acting like zealots or, you know, like
the tone is very different.
Yeah, it is.
I think Carney's like a really pragmatic guy. You know, he's a numbers guy. He's an economist. He, even today after his cabinet announcement, he did a press conference and he said, even there, he reiterated that his number one priority is the economy stuff or the Trump stuff or whatever, like financial stuff. But his number two priority was actually focusing on unity. And he said, I recognize that there's a lot of Canadians. In fact, most Canadians didn't vote for him. 54% of Canadians did not vote Liberals. So he recognizes that. And he said he's still going to lead a government that governs for all. He's not going to contribute to the division that we've seen over the last 10 years. I don't know. It could just be lip service, but what other choice do we have but to see how it plays out, right?
Yeah. So, well, that's the only play right now. And and so we have to, you know, if despite anything that anti-gun groups would tell you, we're actually good faith actors that we just want licensed gun owners to be left alone. They haven't done anything to deserve any of this garbage for the last 5 years, well, beyond 5 years, but you know, as far as the initial May 1st, 2020 gun bans and all the skullduggery that's happened since then, our community never deserved any of that stuff. So hopefully this is a different group of people. They're acting differently. When I say they, I mean Carney and then just some of his cabinet picks and whatnot. And his messaging too is quite different than how Trudeau's was. Trudeau was about finding his interest groups and then pandering like at an extreme level towards them and perpetrating terrible things upon anyone else that wasn't in those interest groups, I guess you could say, or served by them. So I mean, right now we have no choice but to take everything they're doing at face value until we have reason to believe otherwise. And as I think I said in the last podcast, that'll probably be 60 days, maybe 3 months. But if you count them, if they truly don't do anything over the summer, then we really won't know till probably like October. And so,
That's right.
Yeah. What they roll out will speak for itself. And then we'll know. And then if working with them isn't feasible, then we'll have to come up with something else. But if they will be reasoned with and we can come up with some kind of middle ground, then great. We'd be happy to do that, but we're willing to do the work and we're at it right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's been, you know, he's taking over a party that he didn't govern for the last 10 years. There's a whole bunch of messes. And, you know, if there's some stuff there we can help him clean up, I would be willing to do that. Right. So, he's not likely to roll things back, but I think maybe there's some opportunity there. So we'll see.
We'll see. All right. Well, I think we covered everything.
Okay. Awesome. We got it done.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't like a 1 hour, 1.5 hour podcast this time.
No, I know. Sometimes we carry on too long, but short and sweet is great.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for the update and we will see you next time.
We'll see you then.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 189 of the CCFR Radio podcast. Thanks everyone for watching and listening. Really appreciate it. I have nothing to go over with you before I let you go, other than the most important part of this entire episode, and it is Field Officer of the Month for April 2025, and that is our great friend Connor Ware from Alberta. Thank you, Connor, and congratulations. Connor does so much for the CCFR. There's so many things that we couldn't do without him and all the rest of our volunteers, so really appreciate it. If you've forgotten, Connor, what you get for Field Officer of the Month is a $100 promo code. You know those promo codes, right? Promo code for the CCFR's online store. That joke just keeps going. Hopefully actually not everybody knows what the promo code joke is. But anyway, you get a $100 promo code for the online store. You get a year's free subscription for Canadian access to firearms donated every single month by one of the best men in Canada, our good friend Donovan Dewis over there at CATF. And of course, you get mentioned on the podcast and on the television show. So again, thank you, Connor, and congratulations. That's going to do it. So take care, everyone. Really appreciate you coming by. Make sure you share the podcast, and we'll see you in the next one.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.